This policy has run through the department heads. They like it. It's gone through the finance committee. It's gone through legal. And at each one of those steps, we've made little changes here and there and moved some things around. And tonight, I just wanted to walk through some of the sections with you. I emailed this out a week or two ago, so hopefully you've had a chance to look at it. But I'm going to sit down and use my other microphone so we can look at a couple of pieces here. And we can talk as much or as little about this as you want. If you say, Spencer, number one, we got it, then I'll move on. Or if we want to talk about something a little bit more, we can do that.
Spencer, why don't you hit the highlights?
Okay, that's what I'll do. Ultimately, the purpose is to safeguard public money and make sure that there's no favoritism, that there's a fair forum for those interested in participating in public projects. This gives them that opportunity. There's a purchasing code of ethics. Let's see, I jotted a couple of items down. No municipal officer or employee shall be beneficially interested. Some conflict of interest items here. Proper authorization. This looks at the city's responsibility when they're making a purchase on behalf of the city. It has to be on behalf of the city. You can be personally liable. Monitoring and compliance. There's department heads are certainly involved in watching their own budget and the expenses that are for their department. Local business accounts, credit cards. These are both similar kinds of items. We have different modes of making payments. We can have credit cards. We can also have open accounts. Department heads are involved in both of those avenues, and employees are personally liable for misuse of a credit card, for example. Meals with meetings. This is a practice that we've had during our different committee meetings, budget committee meetings. We often have lunch provided at those meetings, and this just lets us continue that practice. For public works projects, there's a great big worksheet here that grabs the RCWs and the thresholds from the state. And this is just what we follow. This is something that Terry is very versed in. He knows what the thresholds are for bidding out and all those kinds of things. That's that worksheet there. There are a couple of exemptions. And this paragraph here just says that we're going to recognize the exemptions that are listed in the RCW. These are things like sole source or emergencies. There are reasons, legitimate reasons that we can, I don't want to say get around, but there are legitimate reasons why following this worksheet may not make sense. And this is just saying that we're going to follow those as per state law. Electronic data, those are kind of a unique item where we don't have to follow that worksheet up top for some of those kinds of purchases. Lowest bidder, bid rejection. Down here at the bottom, emergencies. The piece that I wanted to focus on the most, and this was the most of the discussion when we met in committee, was the section here, contract authority. This is completely dependent on your comfort level as council. I'll just read it first and then we can talk about it a little bit. The city council authorizes the mayor, city administrator, or their designee to enter into and execute contracts under $15,000 or budgeted capital purchases over $15,000. The idea here is if we've approved the purchase of two squad cars in the budget, that's already been approved through council. Does the police chief need to come back and get approval again for making those purchases? That's what we thought. I need to back up a little bit. Contracts, executing contracts that are within budget under $15,000, these are contracts. These are just small contracts. Do we need to bring all of these to City Council? maybe and maybe not. Budgeted capital purchases, those are things like the squad cars, items that we've already discussed. Budget capital purchases over $15,000 without individual approval of each contract by the city council, so long as the contract is consistent with the approved budget by the city and the city's liability under the contract does not exceed available fund balances. This is a paragraph that we worked on quite a bit in the committee, and I think this is capturing the main idea in that committee. One of the things that came up after the committee is some of our large public works projects. So we have a street project for $1 million, and we built it into the budget. Per this line up here, that would be a budgeted capital purchase over $15,000 that wouldn't have to go back to council. I don't think that was the intent, and I think those kinds of contracts should go before council. Terry and I were talking about this. So we added this line down here, all public works projects over $15,000 and change orders will be approved through city council. So that kind of grabs those things that could be outside of it. Then department heads or their designees will be responsible for verifying available fund balance for those purchases. So
just what we end up doing though is approving change orders after they've been done. Pretty much that's the way it's gone for a lot of the projects that we've had here. And I know that decisions need to be made. Things need to be completed, and the committees usually get the information prior to the council approving them. Like, guys, this is what we got to do because this is, you know.
Found this in the field, and this
yep.
is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Recognizing the time sensitivity of some of these issues.
Yep. So it's kind of like a past tense thing that they're going to come back to us for approval to make the payment on a change order that's already been completed because it was discussed in committee and it was something that needed to be done.
Yeah, I think to clarify that too, I think and I've been there. There was one or two times where it was a pretty big deal, and we had the council gather together and like a. Not an emergency meeting, that's the wrong word for it.
Special meeting.
Special meeting, thank you. And that's, we discussed it when it was a bigger contract. So unless it's something big, we're trying to keep, so you're right.
So, yeah, so we can reword this to capture that idea.
Yeah.
Another idea that Councilmember Everett had earlier today was, what about adding another line in here requiring all contracts to be presented to council eventually. So some of these contracts that a department head can execute, we can include those contracts in a department head report or what's this part of the, like the consent agenda, something that would make it so all contracts would eventually be presented in some manner.
Or any and all large purchases, like when you go out and buy two squad cars, you know, we allocate $100,000 for the purchase of two squad cars and he's able to get them for, you know, $85,000 to $90,000. It'd be nice to know that he made a good deal.
In my opinion, I know we've pre-approved, like, for, let's use the squad cars. We pre-approved them, and that's fine. It doesn't take that long to come back before you purchase them and go, hey, look, we're getting, you know, the squad cars at this amount. Even if it's an FYI thing, I'd like to know these things, when we're doing it, and the funds are going to come out of XYZ account.
Yeah.
So that we can keep up and know where the flow is and where everything's going. I feel that's why we're here.
Yeah. Would you be comfortable with that kind of information in a department head report type thing? Not something that's presented at the podium here, but
well, if, I don't know. Well, every council meeting we call for department head updates, and we never get any.
I'd rather see it brought up.
What we do, though, is post the department head reports. They're available to, and Becky, help me out here. Those are on the council agenda when we have department head reports, not on agenda, but available.
Once a month.
For you to read.
The last meeting of the month, we put department head reports. So let them know what each department has done previously.
And they're required to give a report. So now, that said, we could take, you know, extra council time and have the department heads, you know, read the reports or answer questions from the reports if you'd like to do that. I mean, that's, and they're almost always available when the reports are published for questions. So
I'm not saying every nickel dime thing, but, you know, on a major purchase, which I consider that, you know,
so that's
since we're talking about patrol cars.
Mark has asked a question about the radio communication several times, and I think he'd like to get an answer to it, you know, and what we're doing, and you know.
We get ready to purchase, and he will get, trust me, he'll get lots of discussion.
But I mean, it's carried on now for quite a while, so just updates of where we're at and why we're taking so long in making the decision to purchase the item.
So if we were to add a line down here, department heads will present all contracts either in a department head report or
or as requested by council.
Or the current business item, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
One or the other. But does that kind of...
I'd like to see it in the current business, especially if it's a larger, you know, 20,000 or less, you know. I'm still concerned about that, don't get me wrong, when I do that. Okay, but on a major purchase, I'd like to, you know, see the what, whens, and whys.
What threshold would you like to see?
Huh?
What threshold would you like to see?
20,000.
25,000, either way.
25,000?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear about all the red zone items. You know, when we go through our budget and do red zone items for additional purchases, lawnmowers, you know, whatever.
Whether purchased or in a report.
Okay, I'll hold on just a second before you guys go any further. I think what Spencer is trying to do is just establish a policy that is written about our purchases. And in the checks and balances of council, staff, and a mayor, the council can change temporarily the policy. So let's say we have, this is what's happened in the past. The city's finances were in jeopardy. So then the council imposed that no capital purchases were going to be made without running through council approval, and that meant all of them. They were concerned about the direction of certain things that didn't seem to be with what the council had discussed and were going, and so then they required that particular purchase, it was either in committee, it was discussed, but then the committee decided they needed to come to the council to discuss it with the whole council. You still have that kind of authority, and you always will have that kind of authority. I think I want to separate that. In other words, your authority to control all these purchases and expenditures. But Spencer is just, am I right? I think, Kelly, is that accurate?
We should have a baseline.
Yeah.
That we can then make exceptions to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's accurate.
So council always has that authority. That if they're running into concerns about certain particular purchases or large purchases or purchases through, you know, like you were mentioning, the cars, right? You're knowledgeable about those. You want to know what's going on, right? Making sure we're making a good purchase. So the council always has that authority, and I think what Spencer, not to lose sight of what Spencer's trying to accomplish, is we just need a baseline policy that cleans up all of our guidelines for purchases. Is that right?
Yeah, so if I were to add a line right in this spot here, to be something like, all contracts approved at the department level will be reported to the council. This could be included in a department head report or on the consent agenda. Would something like that be good for a baseline? And then from there, we would grab
But are you saying pre or post-purchase?
Here, my thought here was post-purchase.
Okay, here, okay.
If we've already allocated it on the budget, that's fine. But I'm talking anything other than the budget now.
Anything other than the budget would have to go before.
Still has to come to.
Okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
All right, I'm good.
Yeah. So again, getting back to the police cars.
Right.
If we approve two police cars.
And then he comes back.
Then he comes back, says, here's what I bought.
That's fine.
Okay, because we've already given him that authority to go buy the two cars.
Right.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
And we would include that in the department head report, but this is what's going on. So I will, I'll include this other line in here, and we can bring this up in a future meeting for adoption. Thank you.
Perfect. I did have a question on it, though. Will you slide back up?
Yeah.
In the matrix box?
Yeah.
Okay, so, keep going. Right about there, I think, public works projects. Projects costing $300,000 or more must call for bids. Projects costing under $300,000, small works roster. And then keep sliding down. Or is there anything else above that? Any box above that? Okay, so then go down. Then, no, I was just thinking I'm not gonna go down that road just because I'll just continue on. We'll carry the discussion on and if there's something else I wanna bring to the council's attention, I will, before we adopt this.
This matrix is built based on RCW. So we, at the city level, we can't make it looser than this, but you as council can certainly restrict this or lower the threshold. Projects costing more than $200,000, for example, you can make it more restrictive like that. I wouldn't.
So you'd need, you're saying you'd need legislative approval to pass an administrative policy?
If it's a policy, yeah.
You guys set the policy.
Yeah,
well, that's.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a policy, and it's governing how the city's resources are spent, and that's certainly within the council's purview to approve that, okay, that policy.
Yeah, this is our practice. If we make one change, personnel policy, whatever, we bring it to you for approval. This is a whole new policy, so we definitely bring it to you for approval.
This is your way to govern and control the city as a council member.
Okay.
Okay. Are we ready to move on then?
Yep.
Okay. So, Spencer, let's be clear though, Spencer. From here, from here, we are going to.
So I'll include the other line that we discussed, and we'll have an official policy for council approval shortly.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Spence.
Yep.
And now I want to commend the patience of the Othello Sand Hill Crane Festival committee. And I would like to move to item 4.7 on our agenda for a debrief of the Sand Hill Crane Festival. And we have the charming Chris Bronwart here with us, along with her husband and Marie Lotz.
Thank you for having us. As you know, I'm Chris Bronwart, and this is my husband Kurt, and we're the co-chairs for the Sand Hill Crane Festival. And we appreciate all the tourism money that the Sand Hill Crane Festival receives from you guys. We would not be able to have the festival without your funds. The festival wouldn't be sustainable without your funds and without the community's volunteer work, without the communities that donate financially to our festival. Our budget was about $45,000 is what our budget is to put on the Crane Festival. And what I do want to share with you tonight is
we received 60 evaluation forms back, and I would say 95% of them were all positive. We had a few good criticisms. We had things that were, you need bigger classrooms, things that are out of our control, but I have these to pass around, and we'll look at those into the second, and then I also have a magnet for you guys to put on your refrigerator, or wherever you'd like to put it. That was some magnets we had this year, and some of the novelties that we do. If you look, when you do get your sheet, like I said, the majority of the comments were really positive. My husband and I loved the festival. It was the perfect combo of the well-organized event and the speakers with the local small-town feel. Everyone was so friendly. Thank you for all you do to create this event, with the help of the Sandhill Cranes especially. And then, let's see, this is one of the friendliest festivals I've ever attended. Everyone I encountered in town was wonderful. Ace Hardware, where I asked for directions, Subway and the sit-down Mexican restaurant where I ate. Everything was well organized and well planned, both the vendors and the regular participants. Congratulations, Othello. I will definitely be back. And that's what we like to hear. We like to hear that the people that come want to come back another year. And you can go ahead and read the rest of those later. On the other side, we had 1,463 attendants this year. Now, those are people that come and pay and participate on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The two weekends before, the two weekends after, we have people coming to see the cranes. And so not everybody comes just for the festival part. You've got photographers and naturalists and Subaru drivers. And then we had some evaluations. How did you rate the lectures? Now, we had 60 evaluations returned, and not everybody answered every question. So how did you rate the banquet? And this one, I really thought you guys would be interested in. How many nights did you stay? And so one night to a week from the people that that stayed, you know, that answered. And if you also look, we had a lot of people that stayed in Moses Lake, a lot of people that stayed in Connell, and a lot of people that brought their trailers and stayed at the RV parks. And the next one is, where did they come from? The majority of these are the Pacific Northwest, but we do have people that come from out of the country, that come from back east, so it's not just limited to the state, but those were the people that did answer. And how many festivals have you attended? 26 of the people that answered, it was their first. One person had been to 20 festivals, we've had 21. So that's pretty good attendance. And then, where did you learn about the festival? Word of mouth, a newspaper, our posters, signs in Othello, the website, magazines, brochures. So everything that we do helps to promote the festival, which promotes Othello. And in May, I went on a bike ride from Ellensburg. And I get out of the car, and you know, they said, "Oh, where are you from?" They said, and I said, "Oh, I'm from Othello." "Oh, do you know anything about that crane festival?" So, you know, so you guys have a lot to be proud of, and I think we've done a lot to better the community. And a lot of people that come over here from Seattle have no idea what a small town is like or what farming is like. And as most of all of you know, we have a farmer on each bus with our wildlife specialist. And a lot of questions are asked about the fields and what the crops are and how they irrigate and where they go and where we sell them and what the farmers do. So it's a very good outreach for the agricultural community also. And so, you know, and then the geology. We do a lot with the geology and have wonderful geology speakers and tours. And I'm sure all of you have been more than once. So we appreciate that. Anything else you want to add?
I think one of the comments that was really interesting was someone said, "I can't believe how clean your community is." And I came in and made a special point of it, and And that, a lot of that is the community spirit, and a lot of people have mentioned that. And, you know, you guys' support for the Crane Festival is a big part of that community spirit. And it gets recognized, and they appreciate it, so.
And we hope that the festival is sustainable. We've been in, this will be our 22nd year next year, and as you continue to grow, being sustainable is our goal, but it is a hard thing to do.
Yes.
And we had our first paid employee this year, and, well, kind of, but first we, you know, because Marie's been doing a lot through the conservation district, and so there's a lot of in-kind stuff like that goes, but we actually hired somebody this year, and that worked out wonderfully. And we are going to need to have a hired person to keep it going. And so we hope that that continues too.
The other thing too is that with it going online, it was experiment part online, part by phone call this year, and it's going to be all online next year, and it starts directing them to the website. And do we have a link to the city's website also? So the whole goal there is getting them active on the web and interacting with the city's site as well. So that, and I know you guys are working on new videos for that site and everything, so we want, hopefully that helps to take advantage of directing people to that site as well.
Any questions?
I just want to make a comment. It is one of the best events in Othello all year. I was invited to participate and greet people on Saturday morning, and it is amazing how people were just surprised the mayor was there. And then how much work really does go into this, and how many volunteers. It's just an army. And just what a great job you guys do year after year. And I want to give you some hope. I've been involved with the economic development person for the county, is Steve McFadden. And there are things potentially taking place that might bring a hotel here to Othello. A new hotel in Othello would substantially increase the hotel motel tax revenues, which would substantially increase the ability of the city to give you even more support. And that's really our goal. We want to support this as best as we can. And if there are additional things that happen that allow that to happen, certainly a new hotel in town would certainly make that happen. And so nothing is solidified, no property has been purchased yet, but there is a lot of interest in our little community right at this particular moment. So, yeah. Anyone else on the council want to? Because it's been a really good event for us.
Thank you for what you do.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having
Thank you.
Us.
Okay. Our next item, 4.8, is executive session personnel. Council will now convene for executive session to discuss the filling, the soon-to-be vacant city administrator position and the qualifications of an applicant. And so I'd like to enter into executive session at 7:19 p.m., and we will go approximately 15 minutes. And I don't anticipate any action to be taken after this executive session, Charles. Okay, we're now back in session, regular session at 7:41 p.m. And we'll move to item 5, which is our unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to take care of tonight? I think I'm just going to tell you what I've heard. I've heard both sides. I've heard don't change nothing, and then I've heard as much as there may be a petition brought saying outlaw them, or at least outlaw the aerial fireworks. So that's probably for another, I mean, even if we took action today, or in 2 weeks, or in 4 weeks, next year, it doesn't change anything for next year, but it would be for the following year. Yeah. So we have a little bit of time, but another home burned over on the south side of town, on Gemstone. I don't know for sure. So was it the people who owned the house, they were the ones that shooting and then caused it, or was it somebody else's fireworks that caused it? Or is it just too much, there's just too much unknown right now? Yeah, we should.
The family actually came in, not often.
Mm-hmm.
My thought was, and to have it at the park is great, but to have it a week before and a week after, and residential, I hate it.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty of people that hate it.
Plenty of people that do not want it. And, but like I say, you know, the chamber, whoever does that, it's good for one day, but anything after 10 o'clock, we might as well. If that's a policy, we don't follow it either.
Right. And I think, and Gina, when she told me she wasn't coming, her opinion was that until the county outlaws fireworks, it isn't going to do a whole lot of good in the city, because people are still going to buy them from down at Bob's Corner and then bring them in and shoot them anyway. I think what the real problem is has to do with the aerial. Yeah.
That's a total fallacy, in my opinion. If we set an ordinance that says that they're illegal to be in the city of Othello, aerial fireworks, then by Jiminy Christmas, enforce that. It's illegal, go write tickets. Don't tell me that we can't have a law that says, no, it's not legal, and then not.
So here's the problem.
If they're just going to do whatever they want? No. That's why we have a police department.
Okay, here's the problem with that. Our ordinance says you can fire off fireworks 2 days before the 4th, and it stops on the 4th. Okay. They're out of ordinance now. And the problem is people light them off, and they're disappearing before the police can get there.
Then rely on the neighbors to turn them in. People, the for things that are non-compliant, that are not being, you know, done right, the police have to rely on the citizens, other citizens, to, you know, inform them of what's going on. But, I mean,
we're not living in Seattle. We're living in Othello, which is very small. If a policeman can't hold his window down
and figure out where
and give somebody a ticket, then I don't like that policy. Well, call in the city hall, and then we'll see if we can find them. Well, time that helps for their morning. I say put a hammer on them. But, you know, but that's just...
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's go back to this. We'll put it on the agenda. We'll have to have public hearing if we're going to change our ordinance. So.
Right. You will. Yeah. And you have plenty of time. If I remember correctly, you have to do it 12 months in advance of the next...
You do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, then we better do it right away.
Wait, so you're going to change next year.
2019. Yeah. You can do it now for 2020, but you have any time up till July 3rd.
Yeah, you do.
2019.
Yeah, between now and July 3rd to affect the next.
I voted no.
Is anything else, Larry?
No.
Anybody else on an unfinished? Is there any new business? That could have been new business, too. Yeah. I know.
We did
say that. Yeah. No, I'm in favor of revisiting it. So.
Well, you look at the streets and the next day, and it's just, I mean...
It's a war zone.
I don't know how much work the Public Works does on cleaning streets after the fire.
I know exactly what Public Works does. I had somebody call me, "Have you been up at Lions Park?" "No, I'm still just getting out of bed." "Well, it's a war zone. It's terrible." So I drove up there, and the city was, by 10 o'clock, I'm going to guess, pretty well cleaned up. But up until then, I don't care if you put out 500 garbage cans, they're going to throw it right beside the garbage can.
Okay.
You want to close the meeting?
Yes. I think I've entertained enough with that. I'm going to adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:48 p.m.
Okay. Can I say one thing?
Oh, yeah, sure. Why not? You might as well.
It's probably better news than fireworks.
Okay.
New business, just an update on Wall Street.
I'm sorry. Yes, we were going to do that. Thank you, Count. We'd all kind of forgot about that because of the fireworks.
Got lost in the works.
Yeah, we did.
So anyway, the 24-inch casing is installed and sealed down to 204 feet. We kind of knew that. Currently, as of tonight, they're boring their 24-inch hole down, and it's at 473 feet. They make about a foot and a half a day, an hour a day, somewhere in there. It's pretty hard. They've gotten a little softer, but not by much. So there should be, at the end of the week, it should be at about the 500-foot range, and they're hauling in a 20-inch casing now to be able to seal install next week. That's about as close as I can get off the rig at 3:30 this afternoon.
Okay.
Right now, they're at 473 feet.
Right.
I think we're going down around nine.
Nine?
About 900 feet.
Wow.
So
once they put the 20-inch casing in, then what size hole are they going to start boring? 16?
I don't know that, right?
16 or 18?
I think it's 16 on that side, but okay. I don't want to say for sure.
16 will allow you to put in 14-inch walls. So.
But that's kind of a wrap. Sorry, I didn't.
No,
but
thank
I,
you.
I know Wade wanted to. So
can we drive on Olympia?
You can't drive Olympia yet. We don't own it. It's still under construction. They still got to do adjustments to some of the stuff they got out there, according to the contractor as of last week.
Okay.
So, but 7th is open, 14th is open. Yes. They got some stuff they wanted to do before they cut it loose, so.
Okay.
Consideration. Just think about it for the future. God, we got a road down there by Olson's that goes, I mean, some way, somehow, we got to think about finishing that road out to 14th, because all those houses are going to be dumping out on that other road up above and going across, and that's just going to load that much more traffic on that road. If we had the other road down below, at least people that were going right on 14th up to the freeway have another avenue to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm imagining when school starts, there's going to be a line of cars back up coming out of those new houses and stuff there.
Yeah, we'll have some discussions about that.
It's not very big. I mean, the distance is not that great.
Yeah, as I was going to say, we have more ideas than money. But we do need to discuss that, the traffic pattern. So, with no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight at 7:51 p.m. Thank you, council and staff.